The shir is dedicated to Ilui Nishmas Rachaleya Bas Rav Chaim Tzvi. This shir will explore the mizmor that is associated with Friday, mizmor for Erev Shabbos, well-known mizmor, a rather short and brief mizmor, but certainly a rather powerful and impacting kind of mizmor. And there is a certain passion that this mizmor has, which is, I believe, rather distinctive and unique. The mizmor is also recited on Friday night. And in Friday night, of course, the context is the context of the mizmorim that we say for Shabbos, in the context of Kabbalah Shabbos, where we have a whole series of mizmorim, starting from the Chunu Anu Hashem, Nariel Desur Yishenu, and then subsequently, we come to this mizmor, towards the end, Hashem Malach Geyus Lavesh. So, this is Mizmor Tzadi Gimel, and you have in front of you a number of Xerox Mar Mekamos, and more or less we will work with the Mar Mekamos. We will again approach the Mizmor the way we've done in the past. What we'll do is we will examine the nuts and bolts, as it were, of the Mizmor, try to look at the language of the Mizmor. Subsequently, we will try to see an overall structure, and then we'll examine a number of Parshoni HaMikra to see how they approach this particular mizmor. And finally, we'll deal with a number of fascinating problematica that are inherent in this particular mizmor. Let's begin by just reading the mizmor in terms of the pshat. Pasuk Aleph in the mizmor says, Hashem Malach, which of course means Hashem has reigned. Notice the past tense which the mizmor uses, Hashem Malach. Geyus Lavesh. The critical word, of course, here, and the rather striking word, is the term Geyus. Geyus is translated a number of different ways, but somehow, when we look at the word Geyus, we have a sense that Geyus is either related to the language of Hashem Malach, almost as a parallel. So somehow Geyus is related to Malchus in some fashion, some form of fashion, either Geyus Lavesh, since it says Hashem clothes himself with Geyus, so one can interpret Geyus as referring to Begadim HaMalchus. Hashem is wearing raiment that's associated, kingly raiment, princely raiment, if you will. Begadim that are Mifuorim, that indicate that the wearer is somewhat of stature, the wearer is somewhat of royalty. That's one translation. Another translation of the word Geyus, that somehow one can see already in the word Geyus, the language of Gaiva. Gaiva, of course, refers to a sense of pride, and of course, we are immediately struck by a problem, which of course is well known, and that is the issue that Gaiva is certainly a midah, is one of the attributes, one of the characteristics that one should, in effect, distance oneself from, one should estrange oneself from Gaiva. Chazal, the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, and we've spoken about this in the past, Hakina v'hatava v'hakavod, Motziyim es adam in olam. Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos that kina, which is jealousy, and tava, which is desire, and covet, someone who seeks honor, all these actually, these three elements can actually take a person out of this world. And Rishonim point out that to a large extent, what are these three predicated upon? They're undergirded by this element of gaiva, by the element of haughtiness. And so gaiva is a quality which is not a good quality. Gaiva is a quality that one should distance oneself from. As a matter of fact, we're all familiar with the famous Rambam, the Rambam who writes in Hilchos Deos, when the Rambam presents his famous position, the position which is known as the Shvil Hazav. The Rambam tells us that one should always strive for the golden mean. One should try to pursue a middle of the road, a balanced kind of approach. And the Rambam indicates this is true vis-a-vis all midos, regarding all attributes, regarding all character traits. One should always pursue the Derech HaMamutza, the Shvil Azov. However, the Rambam outlines and underscores two exceptions to this rule of thumb. And the two exceptions, again, are also well known. One is Kas. The Rambam says when it comes to the Midah of anger, the other Rambam says one should distance oneself from anger. One should not become angry. Maybe there are extraordinary circumstances which would warrant a person becoming angry, which would justify some sort of anger. But even then, the Rambam says the anger has to be expressed outwardly and should not be something that's internalized by the person. It should not become part of my very psyche, part of my very mindset. That's one midah that one has to distance oneself from. And the second midah that the Rambam accentuates that one has to distance oneself from is the midah of gaiva. And the Rambam actually proves it from a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah writes, "Mi'od mi'od havi shval ruach," that the Mishnah does not simply indicate "Mi'od havi shval ruach," that one should be humble, but the Mishnah uses a double language, "Mi'od mi'od," and the Rambam says, whenever you have such a double language, the indication is that one should keep far away from the midah of gaiva, and one, of course, should try to be as humble as one possibly can. Andava is a very significant and a very important midah. Chazal comment, v'yes tsenuim chachma, the pasuk in Mishlei, that chachma resides with those people who are tsenua, who are modest, who are humble, and still humility is a very significant quality that one should strive for to the extent that one possibly can. Even the greatest of all Nevi'im, the greatest of all prophets, and the greatest of all Manhigi Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah describes him in Parshat Baal Yisro, v'yayish Moshe ona ma'od mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adama. Moshe was the yon of par excellence, even though he had a din melech, as the pasuk writes at the end of Dvarim, Moshe is described by the Torah, Torah tzivol ono Moshe, marosha kilas Yaakov, v'yayi bishurin melech, v'yisasi brosha yom, yachad shivtei Yisrael. Moshe has a din melech, the pasuk indicates, and the Rambam, another Rishonim write that, Moshe had a din melech, he was the manhig par excellence, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrates tremendous anava, tremendous humility in his dealings with Klal Yisrael and the like. So gaiva is a midah that one has to distance oneself from. Now here also, as I mentioned before, vis-a-vis kas is a terrible midah that one should keep away from, and there are certain extraordinary circumstances that one can utilize kas, but again, as I said, it has to be something which is expressed outwardly, but not felt inwardly. It should not impact my personality, my inner persona. And so too, gaiva does have certain expressions that are sanctioned under certain circumstances. The pasuk says, "Vayigba liba b'darkei Hashem." Gaiva, if it's interpreted as a kind of self-esteem that one should have, because everyone needs self-esteem, everyone should have a kind of identity. One should not, shall we say, emasculate one's identity. One should not expunge one's identity. It's important to have a sense of self-esteem, a sense of gav, a sense of, shall we say, a back, as it were. And that gaiva is very important in the development of an individual. Every person has to realize their self-worth axiologically. Every person has to recognize that they have what to contribute, they have talents that are unique, that are distinctive, and it's irrelevant whether one person is wiser and another person is not as wise, one person is more knowledgeable, less knowledgeable. Even a less knowledgeable individual has talents that the other individual, the knowledgeable one, does not have, and has kishronos, and has unique aspects of his or her personality, which in effect represent the gaiva of a person. So gaiva is a very significant element which also has to be utilized, but again has to be utilized with great care and great precision. And gaiva is certainly something that one should try to distance oneself from to the extent that one can, with the exception of certain circumstances where a person has to show what the Svarim speak of azus dikdusha. Sometimes there's a need to a person to, shall we say, put oneself forward. But the reason why I am just creating this kind of scenario with reference to gaiva is because gaiva is a quality that should be distanced, one should distance oneself from. So here, the second interpretation of the word geos, besides interpreting it as bigde malchus, the simple pshat is Hashem clothes himself with gaiva. But we just said that gaiva is a quality that one should keep away from. So we have to be aware of what seems to be a kind of paradox over here, because we know that one of the midos that we have to follow is imitatio dei. The Gemara says in Saita, and Chazal speak about this, mahu afata, mahu rachum, mafata rachum, just as Hashem is compassionate, you should be compassionate. Mahu chanun, afata chanun, mahu mevake cholim, Hashem visits the sick, you should visit the sick. Mahu, just as Hashem does all kinds of chesed, you should do all kinds of chesed. So here, if this is a midah which Hashem has and personifies, it's a midah that we have to exemplify as well. But how does this square, how is this to be reconciled with what I mentioned, name of the Rambam, and others, that gaiva is a midah that should be, shall we say, on the other side, that should be pursued in a very limited kind of way, that one should really distance oneself from. There is a Ramban in Chumash. Interestingly enough, the Ramban writes, because Rishonim are looking for the mocker of gaiva. what's the source for the Isur of Gaiva? So the Ramban in Chumash writes that the source for the Isur of Gaiva is a pasuk in the Parshas HaMelech. The Torah in Parshas Shoftim, there when we have the famous Parsha of Melech, where the Torah says in Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Dalet, in Sefer Dvarim, Ki Sovar Al Haaretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosin Loch, Birishto V'yashavta Bo V'yamarta, Asima Alay Melech Kechol HaGoyim Asher Svivol Soy. You'll ask for a king. And the Torah tells us that how should Klal Yisrael respond? Som Tosim Alach HaMelech. We should respond affirmatively. Mikerev Achecha Tosim Alach HaMelech. Lo Tuchal Asei Solach Ish Nochi Asher Lo Achichahu. However, there are a number of qualifications. Lo Yarbe Lo Susim. And beyond that, the Torah says at the end that a king has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah should accompany him his entire life in order that he should have a very overpowering sense of Yirat Shamayim. And the Torah ends by saying, Levilti rum livavo miyachav, ulevilti surv na mitzvah yamin ismol. The Yirat Shamayim of a Melech is critical because a Melech, by virtue of his position, by dint of his aristocratic pomp and ceremony and grandeur that surrounds him, by dint of the fact that he exercises all kinds of powers and he can confiscate property, the way the Chazal, the Gemara describes in Sanhedrin and elsewhere, the ability of a king. So the Torah was very worried that it might get to him. He might become, shall we say, might develop an inflated ego. And here's where the Torah says, "Levilti rum levavo meecha." We have to do everything we can to, shall we say, make sure that that does not happen. And here's where you have, the Ramban says, the makor, the source for the Isur of Gaiva is found dafka in the context of the Melech. So all this was said, going back now to the Mizmor that we are studying, Tzadi Gimel, Hashem Malach Geyus Lavesh. Hashem clothes himself in either begotten of majesty, or there's this element of gaiva, which of course is problematic, and we want to know how to reconcile. And we basically already reconciled it, but we'll explore this matter perhaps a bit further later. The pasuk continues, Lavesh Hashem owes his azar. Hashem has, again, girded himself. The language of hit azar, we say in the Berachas HaShachar every morning, Ozer Yisrael Bigvura. The Almighty, shall we say, dons a mantle of strength. Here the Almighty girds himself with oz. Again, the sense that the Python is creating is really a sense of oz and malchus and geus. There's grandeur, there's aristocracy. Av tikon tevel baltimot. The world is firm. The world was established on a firm foundation. Baltimot, it's not going to falter. Means somehow the Almighty, in the course of creation, created the world, obviously, in a very secure kind of way. But that's Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Beis, Nachon Kisacha Meyoz. The Kisei Hashem is established. The language of Nachon is established from Meyoz, from time immemorial, from days of yore, if you will. Me'olam Mata. The Almighty, of course, is eternal. Me'olam, from way back when. The Nitzchiyus of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the Almighty. So again, here we have a sense of the Almighty sitting on His throne, the language of Kisei, we're familiar with it, of course. HaMelech HaYoshev Al Kisei, Rom Benisa, that's the sense that we have, certainly, at the very beginning of this Mizmor, in Psukim Aleph, in Beis. And this sense, of course, was established from time immemorial, from way, way back. Nochom Kisacha Meyoz, Hashem Moloch, and Hashem clothed Himself. There's a Levush of Oz, of Malchus, Me'ova Mata, this goes way back. Pasuk Gimel, Nasu Neharos Kolam, Yisu Neharos Dachya. What a striking pasuk! It speaks about rivers, bodies of water that somehow raising their voice. Nasu, they are attempting to somehow elevate themselves, and Nasu Neharos Kolam, they are lifting their voice. There's a roar, Yisu Neharos Dachyam, and somehow the roar, of course, is a roar that is leading to Dachyam, a very unique word that is, I believe, not found anywhere else in Tanakh except here. The language of Dachyam, many Mepharshim attribute it to be Lashon of Shvira, a Lashon of, shall we say, destructiveness, a lashon of breaking, and notice the evolution. First, nasu naharas Hashem. First, they lift themselves up, and then nasu naharas kolam. There is a noise, there is a cacophony, there is a cascading kind of momentum, and finally, dachyam, a language of shvira, a breakage of destructiveness. Now, somehow, we have a sense here that there's a roar going on. And that roar, of course, continues. And one could just imagine here a person near a beach, and we have cascading waves that are roaring and coming closer to the seashore. And of course, they're only held back by the sand, but in reality, they might engulf and they might continue. And we could just see them, the undulating waves. And sometimes the seas are choppy, and sometimes the waves, of course, are rather high. And when one sees the waves from a distance, one would literally be frightened, if not overwhelmed, by the cascading waves and the kind of roar that the waves have. And that's the sense that one has in this pasuk. And this sense becomes even more magnified in the next pasuk. Mikolos mayim rabim adirim mishbereyom. From the roar of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea. There's a sense of power that this water has. And we know what water is capable of doing. If water goes beyond its bounds, chas v'shalom, water can wreak destruction, and God forbid, there can be terrible calamity and catastrophe in the path of the water. There's a certain kind of turbulence, a certain kind of cascading mightiness that the waters have. And here it seems to be becoming even greater and greater. Mikolos mayim rabim. Notice again the evolution of the two psukim, Gimel and Dalet. First we have Nasu, and then Nasu kolam, and then Dochyam, and then Mikolos mayim rabim. We have the confluence of all these waters. Adirim. The word adir means something which is absolutely, shall we say, powerful. Mishbereyam. The waves. And of course, Mishbereyam, from the Lashon of Shvira, has the connotation of destructiveness and breakage. I know somehow we sense here that initially the Almighty is the one that is the overarching presence, and now somehow there are these naharos, teva, nature. However, the pasuk says, and it tells you at the end of the Dalit, Adir Bamaram Hashem. The Almighty is, of course, mighty, and He's, of course, mightier than all the waves and all the waters, and all the cacophony, and all the dissonance. Adir Bamarom Hashem. Ultimately, the Adir is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and He's, of course, His power and His might is beyond any natural phenomena. And finally, we have the last pasuk, where the Paitan says, Eidoisecho Nem Numiyed, your testimonies, Nem Numaod, are indeed truthful. Leveischa no'av HaKadosh. Leveischa refers to somehow a bayis, a house, which is Kodesh. Ostensibly we're referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Leveischa no'av HaKadosh. Hashem lo'erich yomim. Hashem lo'erich yomim. For many days. For netzach. Hashem, of course, is eternal. So in effect, we have here, and if you look at the Maramakam that's found on page 1, you will see the overall structure, which is essentially the basic structure of this mizmor, of this Perekat Tehillim. Namely, we have Sukkim Aleph and Beis, which express this idea of Shevach for the Malchus of Hashem, the Malchus which of course began way back when, Hashem Malach, and we have this princely kind of aristocratic setting. Hashem is clothed in raiment of majesty and grandeur, of Malchus, and He's girding His loins with strength. And of course, the Almighty established the world, Avtikon Tevel, Baltimot, and His Kisei, the throne of Hashem, is well established, is well anchored, is Mushrash, Nachon Kisacha, Me'oz, Me'elamata, from days of yore, as we said earlier. That is the first chelek of the Mizmor. And then Gimel and Dalet, one has a sense here that somehow, perhaps there are some elements of nature that are trying to somehow come to the fore, raise themselves up, and perhaps maybe even a kind of rebelliousness one could detect over here, the nuance of rebelliousness that we are also to be, shall we say, reckoned with, namely the might of large bodies of water all coming together, cascading with the waves and what have you. Nosu Noras Hashem, Nosu Noras Kolom, Yisu Noras Dochyom, and Mikos Mayim Rabim Adirim. But it's very clear at the end of the day, Adir Bamorom Hashem. Hashem clearly is the one that presides over nature. Hashem is the one who directs and orchestrates nature. And nature, of course, has to, in effect, be kafuf, completely be subordinate to Ribbono Shel Olam. And finally, at the end, the last chelik of the Mizmor is Pasuk Hey, Eidoisecho Nemnu Me'od Leveischo Na'av HaKodesh. And again, we end Hashem L'Erech Yomim. As we began with the past, Hashem establishing clear footing in the universe, but it refers to the Malchus Me'oz Me'elamata. And then, of course, the, shall we say, the last Pasuk, Hashem L'Erech Yomim, in the future as well. The Almighty, past, present, and future, all three tenses merge for the Almighty, merge for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and certainly the Almighty's Netzach is a Netzach of the past, of the present, and a Netzach of the future. So clearly there is an element here of, if you will, of Gaiva. Number one, the Gaiva we see on the part of Ribbono Shel Olam, and certainly Hashem is worthy of Gaiva. He's exalted, he's transcendent, Geirus Lavesh, but then we even detect in the middle section the Naharos also somehow are trying to assert themselves. There's an element of assertiveness and aggressiveness on their part. A kind of gaiva, which of course is misplaced, and of course is absolutely without foundation. But then it's very clear, Adir Bamorom Hashem, who's in charge, who's the boss. And finally, Eidechecha Nemnu Miyod, Leveischo Na'av HaKodesh, somehow the idea of the Beis HaMikdash, perhaps the idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam, as we say in the davening, the ultimate hope of Klal Yisrael, for the Gilui of the Malchus Hashem, L'Asid Lava, we say it in the Tefillah Siyam Naroyim, Misim Lo Chato Hashem Lebadecha, Al Kol Maasecha, Bahar Tzion, Mishkan Kvoidecha, Uvi Yushalayim Yir Kodshecha, that is the home base, as it were, of Ribbono Shel Olam, that's where he resides, and here we see again, a remez to that at the end of the Mizmor, Eidol Secha Nem Nu Miyoyid, the Malchus of Hashem is that which of course is supreme and overarching and overwhelming. Hashem L'Erech Yomim. And in effect, therefore, when one attempts to examine what is the basic theme of this Mizmor, the theme again fits with an idea that we've discussed in the past already any number of times. Namely, the theme of Malchios. Malchios, we pointed out a number of times, specifically with reference to the tefillah that we see in Rosh Hashanah, where we have the tefillah of Malchus, one of the additional brachas that's inserted into the Shemoneh Esrei. And we mentioned already that Malchus really consists of two themes. Theme number one of Malchus is the present situation. The present situation is that we, Klal Yisrael, acknowledge the Ribbono Shel Olam. We, Klal Yisrael, pay obeisance to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We, Klal Yisrael, are kafuf to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the problem is the rest of the world is, so to speak, out to lunch. The rest of the world is not cognizant of the Malchus of Hashem. And the Tefillah of Aleinu, the first paragraph, expresses the first shlav. Aleinu l'shabech l'adon hakol, shelo asanu, v'lo samanu, shehem mishtachavim l'hev barik, v'anachnu korim mishtachavim l'modim. We recognize the Malchus of Hashem, but that's not sufficient. The idea of Malchiot is the ultimate hope. Alkeinu kaber lecho Hashem Elokeinu, liros meheira v'severus u'zecha, lahavir gilulim min aretz, ve'alilim karos ikareisun, that all of idolatry should be completely routed, should be exorcised and extirpated. V'chol b'nei v'asa yigu v'shmecha. The word kol is critical. All human beings should recognize Hashem. Lahafno seylecha kol rishay aretz. Yakir v'yedu kol yoshvei tevel. Ki lecha tichva kol berech. We want universal recognition of Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's a struggle, an ongoing struggle that will only be resolved by Achris Hayomim. And therefore this Mizmor also has in it that kind of tension, that kind of struggle between the Malchus of Hashem, which is overwhelming, Geirus Lavesh, Oz Hizazar, Nochon Kisacha. It was established way back when, Avtikon Tevel Baltimo. And yet there are those who apparently are making an attempt to somehow negate and not accept, not acknowledge the Malchus of Hashem, in this context, the Naharos, the Mayim Rabim, nature if you will, and Hashem has to set things straight, Adir Bamaram Hashem, Eidosecho Nem Numiod, that in the Beis HaMikdash, we'll see clearly, V'simloch Ata Hashem Levadecho Kol Ma'asecho, Hashem L'Orech Yamin. If you look on page number 2 of Yomar Mekomos, you'll see that the Radak has one approach to the understanding of this Mizmor, and there's a second approach which we will discuss as well, which is the approach on page number 3 of the Meiri. First, let's examine the position of the Radak, how he understands the Psukim in light of the struggle that we spoke about just now. The Radak on page 2, Hashem Malach, I underline the relevant sentences. The Radak writes, Kaleilu HaMizmorim Adu David Mizmor. The Radak points out that all these Mizmorim, namely starting with this particular Mizmor, in Tehillim, Tzadik Gimel, we mentioned at the very outset that this Mizmor is also a chelek of the Friday night filos that we say on Leil Shabbos. So the Radak writes that if you start looking in Tehillim, Tzadik Gimel, and then you look through the subsequent Pirkei Tehillim, namely Tzadik Dalid, which is Kel Nekamas Hashem, and that's followed by Tzadik Kei, which of course is Lechunim Anunah, refers to the Mizmorim that we say on Shabbos. And next, Tzadik Vav, Shir Hashem, Shir Chadash, Tzadik Zayin, Hashem Malach, Togel Haaretz, Tzadik Ches. You look at all these Mizmorim, all of them really address the Malchus of Hashem. And of course, it's not coincidental that this theme of Malchus Hashem comes to the fore on Shabbos. Shabbos represents, of course, the fact that the Almighty created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. So then one sees in a fulsome kind of way the Malchus of Hashem, and that's reflected in all the beautiful piyutim and Pirkei Tehillim that we say on Friday night. So the Radak points out that all these Mizmorim, starting from Am Mizmor Tzadik Gimel, and going all the way till Kuf Aleph, the last Mizmor being Mizmor L'Soda Hariel Hashem Kol Haaretz, says the Radak, all these are futuristic Mizmorim. Hey Masidim Al Yemos HaMashiach. They all refer to the Messianic era, the eschatological age. The Kasher Hishlim B'Zeh Mizmor, Ki Oz Yakiru Kol Olam, Ki Yosher Hashem, Tzuri V'Lav L'Sabo. That Hashem is just, and that of course is the Mizmor that you have on page 1, the Mizmor that precedes this one, the Mizmor that we say for Shabbos. Lahagi Ki Yosher Hashem, ultimately, everyone will recognize the fact that Hashem is Yoshar, Tzuri V'Lav L'Sabo. But, Heichel B'Zeh Mizmor, so right upon the heels of that, this Mizmor begins. Hashem Malach Yer Slavesh, I'm reading the Radak again on page 2. Ki Oz Yakiru Kol Olam, Ki Yosher Hashem, everyone will recognize the Yashus of Hashem, V'Chi Hu Melech Al HaKol, that He is the Universal King. V'Lo Yizgo B'nei Adam L'Fanav, Ki Moshe Asu Malchei Umos. And the kind of gaiva that we see throughout history, generally this gaiva is associated with politicians, with leaders, that somehow they, the moment they, shall we say, achieve any kind of leadership position, they sometimes get carried away and have an inflated sense of ego. And he refers to the Malchut Masa'olam, the Moshama Nuchanetza, the Pasuk Yeshayahu, Yudalin, Ele al Bamasiyav Adam El Elyon. He saw himself as being Rachman al Itzlan, Lahavdil, almost similar to the Almighty. V'yom ha'para li yori v'ani asisini, the way Chazal comment, the Pasuk Yecheskel, Perek Chavtes, there also Chazal indicate that Paro used to go down to the Nile in the morning because he wanted to, shall we say, present himself as a god who had no need to have recourse to human needs and nature, if you will. Therefore, he went to the Nile. Or Melech Asher, says the Radak, B'koach yodi asisi uv'chach masi kinibunosi. And therefore, these kings demonstrated tremendous gaiva. And the idea, of course, is to strip them of this gaiva, divest them of this, shall we say, aristocratic, inflated sense of ego. Vaz yakir hakol, kilo gilbash malchus geyes kim hakel levado. The only one who is worthy and entitled to have this sense of power, of majesty, is Ribbono Shel Olam, velo levado amalucha. Malucha belongs to him, is vested in him. So the fact this entire Perakat Tehillim, the Radak says, has this futuristic kind of element. And it refers to that period of time when even though now there's a struggle taking place between those who acknowledge the Malchus of Hashem and those who don't, ultimately there'll be a universal recognition of the Malchus of Hashem. War will end, as we know, the Psuk in Yishayo, the Gar Zevim Keves, the Namiram Gidi Yirbats, the Chulu Mechulu, and the Radak refers to other Psukim. Albi Bimesa Mashiach, he writes, Tikon Haaretz, Lo Timot Od. Again, the Kisiv of Hashem will be fully established, and in effect, the Malchus of Hashem will be universally recognized. And the Radak continues with this Kav, with this line of thinking. He writes, Nachon Kisacha Meyoz, Oz Yakiru Ki Nachon U Kisim Malchus Meyoz, Me'elam Ata, Kloima Kedem Eilam, Adain Eilam, Hashem Malach, we say, Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before any created being, the Almighty was present, the Almighty is eternal. Of course, this runs counter to the Aristotelian doctrine, which the Rambam quotes in the Buchim, but this idea is a yisod, a foundation of our Emunah, the eternity of Hashem. Me'elam Ata, Kedem Eilam, and He created the world. And now, the Radak continues with this line of thinking throughout this parak of Tehillim, namely Pasuk Gimel. Nasu Naharas Hashem, says the Radak, who mashal al Gog u'Magog. Gog u'Magog represents Armageddon as they are known. The Alam Alachim Asher Ito, she yiskabtzu li lachim al Yerushalayim. They're going to gather to wage war against Yerushalayim. V'im shilam lana hara yisach hazokim sheneistim keilam berutzam. And the mashal that's given here, they are compared to bodies of water that are powerful, that are strong, that they are cascading. And there's of course a din, there's a kol hamon mayim. Kein hem yitnu kolam v'hamon rav. V'chein amar v'hishra kol hamachane k'kol hamayim. V'yomar, quotes the Pasuk in Yecheskel, k'kol mayim rabim, k'kol shakai belechtam, kol hamula k'kol machane. V'chein himshil melech ashur l'nor, v'yomar, hini Hashem mal aleyem es mi'an nor ha'atzum v'arabim. V'yomar ki ha'malch yisayim yisu kolam, v'yisu dochim al Yisrael. Means they're going to, in effect, utilize their power, and unfortunately will be directed against Klal Yisrael. Why directed against Klal Yisrael? Because Klal Yisrael, we are the ones who in effect carry the message. We are the ones who are personify what it means to be kafuf to the Malchus of Hashem. And they want to, shall we say, snuff that out. They want to completely eliminate that. So they are compared to these Naharos. And again, you see how the Radak interpreted the Psukim, that there's a struggle going on, a mighty, titanic struggle between the forces of nature that the Hashem Yisbarach created, and the forces of nature are engaged in a kind of rebellion. They're rearing their heads, as it were, and they're somehow flexing their muscles in order to, as it were, somehow prevail. As Ki'ilu, that's possible, of course it's not, against the Malchus of Hashem. And Yisu Naras Dochim, he translates in Shever, as we said earlier. He quotes Psukim, Togel Na Tzomos, Dikisa, Ki Digisani Bim Komtanim, the word Lidakei means actually to put down. And he continues along this vein, the Radak, Mikolos Maim Rabim, Adir Mishber Yom, Adir Bamara Mashem. So no matter how loud and how cacophonous and how dissonant they may be, but ultimately, Adir b'amorim Hashem, he says, Hashem b'amorim hu adir aleihem v'yapilem v'yashpilem. Hashem will put them in their place. Hashem will obviously, he's directing traffic. He's the one who's orchestrating the events. And the Radak also, even at the end, interprets the last pasuk in that light as well. Eidosecho nem numiyog. What does that refer to? So the Radak beautifully interprets this pasuk, Eidosecho. He says, Hey madvorim haksuvim alidei neviyecho. Hami'idim al-malchuscha. Yiskaimu was made. Eidosecha refers to the testimony where we find where? In Tanakh. We find in Nevi'im. Nevi'im are made on the Malchus Hashem. V'yom ha'me'id. Kloima shulayiyah l'shumadam safik b'libahaz b'zeh. There will be no ambivalence. There will be no individual who doubts the Malchus of Hashem. It will be clear. And then at the end he translates l'beischa yiyen nofe v'noye. The Beis Hamikdash will not undergo any kind of destruction or desolation. Vashem, who the Shon Kriya, The Yesh Safarish Nava Inyan Tava V'Cheshek Shekol Adam Yisave V'Yechshach the Beis Chavim will have a great desire to, in effect, cling to the Beis Hamikdash, cling to Kedusha, cling to the Baruch Shel Adam who resides in the Mikdash. Shu Kadoshach Yamim, and he quotes the famous pasuk beginning of Shayo, Moshe Kassav Nachon Yehabis Hashem Roshay Harim V'Nisab Mikvos V'Naru Elav Kol Agoyim. And then, of course, the way the language of the pasuk goes, L'chum v'nal ha'har Hashem, el beis elokei Yaakov, v'yareinu midrachov, ki mitzion teitzei sora, v'udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, v'chein omer, yavo kol basa l'shtachav asafonai, omer Hashem. So the position of the Radak is very clear in terms of how he sees the struggle between gaiva, melochim v'abali gaiva, and they have to be put in their place, by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and ultimately, l'asi lavo, l'mos ha'mashiach, this will happen. If you take a look now on page 3, the Meiri has a different interpretation. He actually refers to the Radak, and the Meiri has his own interpretation, and his interpretation is quite original, but fits beautifully into the scheme of the description of the mighty waters of the Naharos. If you look on page 3 in the Meiri, you'll see, Hashem Malach Geyus Labesh. Gamze Amizmor, says the Meiri, he sees in this mizmar the creation, the process of creation. The Meiri refers to the psukim. If you recall, in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Perek Aleph, when the Torah describes the Bria Shamayim Vaaretz. So when one reads the text, one clearly gets the sense and the impression that essentially, what did this globus consist of? The Torah says, water, water, and water. It was dark. Water that was cascading everywhere. And even we know today that 70-75% of this globus consists of water. So what did Hashem do in order to, shall we say, make seder? So what Hashem did was, the Ramban writes in his Perash al HaTorah, there are three verbs that highlight the process of the Bria. The verb bara, yatzar, and asa. Bara, says the Ramban, refers to Bria, yesh v'yayin, ex nihilo. Yatzar is from Chomer, vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam, ofra min ha'adama, vayipach v'yapam nishmas chayim. Or we say, for example, in Yom Kippur night, ki hinei kach Chomer b'yad ha'yotzer. The Almighty takes raw material, Rabban calls it Chomer Hiyuli, hyletic matter, and fashions it and shapes it, Yotzer, Yotzer Ha'adam, one of the brachas of the Sheva brachas. And finally, the third verb is the verb Asa, which the Rabban interprets to mean a kind of Makim Bepatish in Hilchos Shabbos terms, Asiyasu al Maskunto. There's another verb that I would like to draw your attention to, if you look at Perek Aleph Bereishis, a verb that's critical. And that verb is the verb of Havdalah. The Torah again and again speaks of Vayavdel Elokim ben Ahor ben Achoshech. Or a bit later, in Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Elokim yihi rakia besoch hamoyim v'hi mavdil ben mayim lamoyim. The separation. And not Hashem had to make seder. And the waters had to be, shall we say, had to kind of recede into their area in order that Yabasha, dry land, should emerge. Vayas Elokim es ha'rakia, he created the firmament. Vayav de ben ha'mayim ha'shem mitachas ha'rakia, uben ha'mayim ha'shem mi'al ha'rakia. And then again, in Pasuk Tes, and here the Meiri understands our mizmar in light of the psukim I'm about to read. Vayomer Elokim, yikavu ha'mayim mitachas ha'shamayim ha'mokom echod v'seirua Yabasha. Let the waters, in effect, Yikavu, let them be gathered in one spot. A mikveh, as you know, that's the language of Yikavu, is Chazal say, mitayer bi'ashborin. Waters are mechunas b'makom echad. Waters are gathered in one spot. So here, that's exactly what happened. Yikavu ha'mayim mitachas ha'shamayim b'makom echad v'seirua yabasha. Now the land will appear. Vayichein. And the Torah describes that process. Vayikra Elokim le'yabasha eretz ulemikveh ha'mayim kara yamim vayar Elokim kitov. So in effect, there was a process of Havdalah, and that idea of Havdalah is seen subsequently as well. Look in Pasuk Gidalid, in Perek Aleph of Bereishis. And then again, you see, this Havdalah occurs a bit later as well. Kiseder, Havdalah, if you will, is a critical element in the process of the Bria. So now, going back to the Meiri, on page 3, the Meiri interprets our entire Mizmor in that light. He writes, the Mizmor is describing that process that took place at the moment of the Bria. The process that took place is the process of Yikavu Hamayim Mitachas Hashemayim El Makom Echad V'Seirua Yabasha. Says the Meiri over here, Hashem Moloch Geyus Lovesh. He writes in Pasuk Aleph, Klomer El Yonim Mitachtonim Yakiru Tzas Ma'alosah Hatzuma Vaniflo. And the Pasuk continues, Oz His Azar Ugvura. When Hashem was Mechadish the world, Yesh Me'ayin, then what did He do? Av Tikon Tevel. Tevel refers to Yabasha, refers to Eretz. How did Eretz emerge? It emerged through this powerful act of Havdalah. The Almighty, in effect, was able to make Seder, as we described it earlier. Baal Timot. Tevel, says the Meiri, Biem Tzaholam. Baal Timot, Bitanu Alashum Tzad. What did Hashem do? He separated the waters. And as a result, Yabasha emerged. And this is exactly what's being described here. And of course, this fits beautifully in with the language of the Mizmar. At the beginning, Sukkim Aleph and Beis described the process of Bria, Hashem Malach, Nochem Kisacha, Hashem had to establish everything. And what was He establishing? Stay there in the Bria. Water here, land over there. A sense of Havdalah. The Meiri continues, this is in effect, this Geyus of the Almighty, it's what gives the earth its solidity. It anchors it. Nochon kisacha, says the Meiri, hu shehischol b'sipur b'riyas ha-shamayim, k'al galgalam yikaru kisei, and they were created b'tziv yonam b'tachlis shlemusam, and the pasuk continues, nasu naras Hashem, nasu naras kolam, what does that refer to? Romezel hikavut hamayim, the gathering of the water, the Havdalah that took place. And Yisu Naras Dachyam Yarimu Kol Beit Avram B'Shetev Alamakom Shidaku V'Yashchisu. And it continues, Adiri Mishbirayam Gali Hayam, the waves, Adir Bamaram Hashem, the Almighty is the one who in effect made Seder at that moment of creation, the moment of Bria, Lasot Bahem U'Lashano Tivam Lases Chol Gvul Hayam Chog Baal Yaranu. And as Hashem in effect, He made Seder. Chok Samta Bal Yavorim. The pasuk says in Baruch Inafshi in Kuf Dalid. Bal Yichusun L'Chasos Haaretz. And therefore we end as well with the following language. Eidai Secho Nemnu Miod. Ki Inyon Eidus Hashem Ne'amono. Leveischa Hanoda B'matzav HaChachamim Bal Ezotu Emuna. Noa V'Kodesh Ratzalomar. Noe L'Katsho U'Lahadro. Lo La'Kofrim Hashalo Yaminu Davar. The Kofrim, of course, don't believe. They don't subscribe to this. Their entire thinking is based, as the Meiri, Rak Shemayichayev HaHekesh HaMotzi V'Igzirenu HaYin HaSichli. Everything is based on Seichel, based on logic. They don't have this kind of emunah. They don't have this kind of commitment, this kind of dveikus in Hashem. And of course, this is exactly what the Mizmor is expressing. It's referring to that moment of the Bria, when Hashem went ahead and in effect did the separation, the demarcation, water was placed on one side, Yabasha on the other side, Hashem Lorech Yomim, and therefore the Meiri has a rather different interpretation than the Radak. The Radak's interpretation, the Mizmor refers to Yimos HaMashiach, a futuristic description of the Malchus of Hashem being accepted universally. And the Meiri says, no, the Mizmor refers to the past. It refers to the act of Bria, the moment of Havdalah, the moment when the waters, shall we say, were separated with all of their power and dissonance. The Almighty is the one who's Koveya Seder. And here, in effect, we have two different interpretations, one of the Radak, one of the Meiri, in order to understand this beautiful Mizmor. And Yetz Hashem, we will do next year, we will explore further some of these themes, and we'll see as well the parallel in terms of language to some other Pirkei Tehillim that we find dafka in this parak of Tzadik Gimel. At the same time, we'll attempt to reconcile the issue we raised at the beginning of the shir, namely the idea of Hashem and Geus, and the other side, the Midah of Gaiva being a Midah that is Maguna. How do we reconcile those two conflicting desiderata?